Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Good to see you too. I'm glad we are all regularly sized and not shrunken.
I don't know, there's part of me that I wouldn't mind being a little shrunken, but you know, comes with age and wisdom. So, Pete, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Derek. Derek, I watched the movie. I'm gonna. All of my statements are gonna be in the form of the name of this movie.
Excellent.
Kate, I liked that joke.
Steve, help. Steve, please help.
I can't help. I'm sorry.
Steve, no. I love your
I think
shirt.
You should just mute them. Mute.
Well, no. Muting is too easy. He just like might develop technical difficulties.
All right, I'll stop.
Guys, if you're not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up, including some shows that are going to lead into things at both Disney movies and things at Disney theme park. So, that being said, this week we actually went back into the 1980s to a movie I couldn't believe we hadn't watched yet. We did Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. A movie that most Disney people, at least my age and in 10 years either side of, definitely know. One that has been referenced a lot in a lot of other Disney things, especially from the 90s. But it features Rick Moranis as Wayne Szalinski. And he has come up with a shrink ray that doesn't work until it does. And it shrinks his two kids and the neighbor's two kids who they don't get along with. And ends up that they get taken out in the trash to the back alley and have to make their way back to the house. And it's all about their misadventures going through the yard with ants and lawnmowers and oatmeal cream pies and paths of rivers of questionable liquids. And
sprinklers.
Yeah. The rainstorm, the sprinkler storms, and all about them eventually getting back into the house and the process of getting them resized. And the two families who thought they were all, each family was weirdos, which neither one of the families was necessarily wrong. they end up getting together. The shrink ray, they figured out how and it works. It had to go through a baseball spoiler, and the families get along, and it's all one big happy family. So anyway, including a giant turkey and a giant Alpo bone for the dog. So what about this was a giant win? What really worked in this movie? And Pete, I'll let you start off.
So I really want to shout out like the mostly practical effects. I mean, there were certainly some green stuff going on, but, yep. There was a lot of actually building giant things for the kids to interact with. And a lot of, you know, this is before CGI. So there was a lot of, and there was some stuff, there was some stop motion in it too. There was a scorpion and an ant that at times were both stop motion as well. But it was all done pretty seamlessly for something that you're looking back at from 1989. There was only a few times I thought when they were flying on the bee, some of that stuff looked a little eh. But for, again, for the time, it was pretty impressive. I also, excuse me, I also like, this is not pun intended. I also like they kept it small scale, that it didn't have to be this like epic adventure where they travel through the whole town or, you know, it's like in their backyard. The whole thing takes place in the 2 yards of these two people, which is appropriate for a movie in which you shrink the kids. So, you know, they didn't try to go further than they needed to.
Although, did it bother anybody that when they did the math on how far they would be traveling in scale, he got the math incredibly wrong? instead of like 3.5 miles, if you actually do the math, it would have been like, you know, that 60 some feet was actually like a quarter mile.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Some of the scaling didn't quite work. You know, because they said they were a half an inch tall or something like that.
Quarter inch tall.
It seemed to me like at a quarter inch tall, like raindrops wouldn't be like bombs. You know, I mean, it would be big, but it wouldn't be like
some of the ones that hit your windshield though, like when the rain's first starting though.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. But there were some points where I was like, boy, this seems way bigger than it necessarily would be. But overall, that I said, I really like the effects. So, Steve, what about you?
I'd say highly was Rick Moranis, like playing like the geeky, like weird professor of played it very well. I think he was a highlight for me. I thought he was very, very enjoyable and about him going. So that, I'd say that was my highlight, because Pete took a lot of mine, the practical effects that sort of stand up.
Yeah. Kind of going along with that, there were some genuinely clever and funny moments. Some of the lines made me chuckle, made me go, yeah, that's kind of a fun line. Didn't all hit, but there was enough of it to make me, I mean, it was very much a late 80s movie. And it was very much a late 80s Disney kids movie.
Yeah, for sure.
We're going to ignore the Grease / National Lampoon Christmas Vacation intro set, like title sequence. But no, some of the humor definitely worked for me. Again, this was very much a movie that you didn't have to think too hard about. You could like, and I like those. Typically, if I want a movie that I'm just going to sit and watch, I don't want to have to think too hard about it. And this is definitely one of those. So, Kate, how about you? Anything else?
No, you all pretty much covered it. Casey and I both watched this at the same time, and we both commented on all of the practical effects, how much we miss practical effects. In a world where CGI can get you to do so much, the practical effects were just great. This movie made me belly laugh. There were some jokes that made me, they were dumb, dumb jokes, but they made me laugh. Like, one that sticks out.
Wait a minute, French class.
That, no, this is really, like, it's so bad. It made me laugh because it's so dark. When she goes, if you were my brother, I would tell people I wish I was adopted. And then he's like, I hope I see his face on a milk carton. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I just, those ones, I belly laughed. I can't even remember now the exact other ones. Rick Moranis, I never would have thought does physical comedy well.
Oh, yeah.
I never thought of him as a physical comedy guy.
Have you and his seen physical Little Shop of Horrors?
I have not seen Little Shop.
What?
I know. Okay. I know.
Turn in your musical theater card right now.
So his physical comedy, and I saw the movie. This movie came out. I was one when this movie came out. So I did see this movie, and I did go to the play place in Disney World when I was like five. But I just forgot, and I haven't seen a lot of Rick Moranis in a while, and so I forgot that he is a very physical comedy guy, and so that had me laughing when he's climbing the fence to get to the other fence.
Yeah,
I just chortled. It was great. So that the casting, I also thought was really good, and this movie was just it was just nostalgic of a different time that I miss. Just a simpler, when she starts dialing 911 and she's using a Rory phone, I was like, this is crazy. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Well, can I make one other comment? I liked that 90% of the time in this type of movie, when the wife finds out that the husband shrunk the kids, the wife will turn into a total shrew and be like, I can't believe you do that, blah, 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 blah. And this one, she was like, it worked. And she's like, okay, let's find the kids. You know, like she was never once mad at him about it, which I thought was great.
Okay. So if that was all what was a giant win, what about this wasn't shrunk enough? What didn't quite work for this movie? And Steve, I'll let you start.
I like this because it fits in. The opening sequence was not shrunk enough. It went on and on and on before you get to the action that I was remembering. Like, it was too long of a prologue.
Okay, like the lead up to where the kids actually got shrunk, or the cartoon. Yeah. Okay.
Well, that too, but the entire, like, getting into the action of going through the backyard, too long, too much information going on.
I should agree with that. I can see that. Yeah, there were parts of this, as I said, there were parts of this that were, you know, very nostalgic, parts of it that really, really worked. And then, like most 80s movies and most kids' movies like that, there were parts of just one of those, okay, we felt we had to get it in an hour and a half. There were times, especially, again, before they got shrunk, that just, like, the whole thing with, you know, the dad and Russ not wanting to, you know, with the lifting of the weights and all that kind of, and I'm going, not needed. We get that they don't like you, the same thing. Move on. It didn't get to Saturday's after school special for me, but okay, there's a throwback. But there were parts of this as well as okay, next. So that was probably the little bit biggest miss for me. Kate, what didn't work for you?
Yeah, that was one of, like, the kissing scene was a very intense kissing scene. Like, they were going hard. In fact, Casey and I were both like, oh my, oh, okay. And also, why didn't Rick Moranis just literally go, hey, we know you can hear us. We know you're shrunk. We're trying to find you.
Like, when?
The entire time!
I mean, but you got to remember, at the beginning, he didn't know that they were shrunk.
No, but once
we figured it out, and they were like, again, I laughed when they were like suspended, and the other neighbor was like, honey, that man is flying. Anyway, I just wanted to be like, hey, kids, if you can hear me, we know you're shrunk. We're trying to find you. I just wanted him to do that the whole time. He didn't.
I would have made a really short movie.
This is gonna sound weird. I wanted something more, but I don't know what that is. Like, I don't know if I wanted it to get to him finding kids sooner and have more interaction. Because really, I think it was like the last 10 minutes of the movie, maybe 15 top. Like, oh, here's kids. I can see kids. They are shrunk. I need to make them big again. I would have liked them to find that a little sooner and had more storyline interacting with that instead of I'm laying on the grass and looking. We're running through the grass and getting in mud. So I would have liked a little more storyline there. Pete, what about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of with all this. The earliest part of the movie with the character, especially the neighbor, Matt Frewer's neighbor character, like, I don't know why they had to give him this, like, the conflict between him and his son never really amounts to anything in the movie, that they spend a good 10 minutes of the movie setting it up, that he's all this moody and everything like that. I just feel like there could have, if they're going to spend the time to do that, they could have come up with something more interesting than they did. And so, yeah, I kind of agree that first 20 minutes is, it takes a little while to get there. Like, maybe have, because truthfully, the neighbor kids have no relationship.
No.
Until, like, it might have been more interesting had there been, like, that the neighbor kid was the bully for the little kid, or, you know, or that the older kid, I don't know. It just felt like, you know, they threw them together and they didn't really know each other, and it might have been more interesting if they had had some kind of history between any of them. So,
and at the end, it still didn't seem like they were all that close, to be perfectly honest, other than, you know, obviously the closeness of the older boy and older girl. But
right.
Okay. Okay. So we've all talked about how, you know, great Rick Moranis was in this movie. What, in your opinion, is the best Rick Moranis role? And I'm going first because I have the right answer. The correct answer is Louis Tully in Ghostbusters. Because you get the physical comedy when he's, you know, both transformed and not transformed as Lewis and Vince Clortho, Keymaster of Gozer. But when you realize that most of his lines were like the fourth take and he ad-libbed them completely and they worked, that I love, and there's several others that I love him in. And if they don't get mentioned, I will definitely come back to them. But there are multiple, I just love him in Ghostbusters. Without him, without that little comic side effect on the Dana Barrett side of the conversation, you need that balance. So, Kate, how about you? Or do you need to pass?
No, I have mine. The Flintstones. But I think I liked the Flintstones because that was one of the other, I remember seeing The Sandlot in theaters. I remember seeing The Flintstones in theaters. And I really liked the movie as a kid. I haven't seen it in a lot of years. It would be between this and The Flintstones, but I'm going to go, so that I don't say this one, I'm going to go Flintstones.
He did really good as Barney Rubble. It wasn't a particularly good movie, but I thought he was good in it. I'm going to go with his first movie and kind of where, calling out my age and where I lived, Strange Brew, Bob and Doug McKenzie from the Great White North. Hey. How's it going, eh? I when I was a kid, I loved the movie Strange Brew. I thought it was hilarious. It's super stupid, admittedly. but him and Dave Thomas playing those characters is, iconic, and so much so that they appear as essentially those characters in a Disney movie. Yes, they're both in Brother Bear.
Another
not great movie.
Well, but they're
yeah.
But the scenes with them in it are great.
Are funny. Yes.
Right. I played Coda from Brother Bear a few times.
Nice,
Steve.
I'm surprised no one said mine. I'm going with Dark Helmet from Spaceballs. Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes. So I mean. Great movie. I remember seeing that with my dad in theaters. It's been a while, but again, classic, just playing up the humor and funny. So,
and it's actually going to be the movie, the sequel to that is going to be the movie that brings Rick Moranis back to movies, is Spaceballs 2. And unfortunately, it is not The Search for More Money, but it's like, the new one or something like that. So I supposed to do the new one or something. But Rick Moranis actually took a break to raise his kids. His wife passed away.
His wife passed away and he quit acting in like 97 or something like that.
Yeah, and it hasn't like he's done a couple of very, very small, like he did a mint money app commercial. That basically they did who was in he's in Alvin and the Chipmunks. Plays Deadpool. Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, Ryan Reynolds. Oh, yeah, he was in Ryan. Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds owns Mint and he basically did that commercial to get Rick Moranis on the commercial because he loved having Rick Moranis around. But yeah, so Rick Moranis will be back for Dark Helmet in Spaceball 2, which will be coming out next year. Sadly, not a Disney movie, but
well, I'm not keeping my hopes up for this one, but
I am, only because the plot was actually come up with by Josh Gad. And he and Mel Brooks worked together to write and create the movie. So yeah,
we'll see. Is all I will say at this stage.
That's fair. That is very fair.
Yeah.
All right. Other thoughts?
We also shouldn't ignore Seymour in Little Shop of Horrors.
Ignore it.
Yep.
Yeah, and trying to think of any other big ones. He actually wasn't in a ton of stuff because he really only was in movies for like 10 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this was his probably most prolific. Well, I mean, he was in two Ghostbusters movies, right? But he was in three of these.
Yeah, I'm looking to see.
He was in Little Giants.
He was in Little Giants.
Yeah. Again, another kids movie from the time. I forgot he was in Brewster's Millions as the mimic. He's one of the guys who shows up in the office when Richard Pryor's trying to spend all his money. So, guys, as we always do, we give cups of pixie dust out of 5, 4 Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Kate, what is your pixie dust rating on this movie?
Yep, I'm giving it a solid 3.
You said 3?
3.
I heard 3, yeah, okay.
I heard 3.
I heard 3, yeah.
Sorry, 3, 1, 2, 3.
I'm giving it a 3, too. I actually had fun watching it. Not one I would go back to a lot, but I would definitely recommend it like for a family movie night, for sure. Yep. What about you, Steve?
And we could make that a turkey. Another 3.
No, this is not a turkey. We have seen some turkeys lately. This is not a turkey. But I'm actually going to make it a unanimous 3 across the board.
Wow, that doesn't happen very often.
Have we ever all given something the same rating other than the 1?
No. The closest we've ever come is like, I think maybe like either Lion King or Toy Story or something along one of the Disney greats along those lines.
Oh, right. But,
There are parts of this I'd go back and watch again. There are parts of this, but it's one of those, especially if you have kids or were a kid in the 80s and 90s and you haven't seen this yet, go watch it because I think it's enjoyable. So,
it made me nostalgic for, which was really big in the 80s. The kid and even into the 90s, the kids on an adventure movie, there were so many of those then that they made these movies for, you know, kids. And I think as we moved into the 2000s, you got that move to like Disney Channel. And now it's kind of nowhere. Yeah. Nobody's doing them anymore, which is too bad.
Yeah. Okay, Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
A couple things. First off, Hoppers is now available on digital purchase, which means it is likely coming to Disney Plus for free sometime this summer. Pete, did you see it?
I saw it. Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Was it good?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Look forward to watching that. Number 2, a special look at Mandalorian and Grogu is available on Disney Plus, providing an extended preview of the upcoming movie. Speaking of, have you guys, I just saw a commercial that Smuggler's Run at Disney World is getting a revamp.
Yes.
To have Mandalorian and Grogu in it.
Yes.
That's crazy.
So.
Pretty cool. And last but not least, Disney is looking at moving all of their other apps, including the theme park apps, into Disney Plus. Nothing has been confirmed, but the discussions have been mentioned in shareholder meetings. That will be very interesting.
How much that'll crash.
I was going to say, although I'm not sure the theme park app can get that much worse.
Yeah.
So, oof. I mean, realistically. So, Kate, thanks for the Disney Plus news.
You bet.
Next week, we are going to be looking at another animal documentary, but this one's got a different flavor to it. This one is orangutan. This is a Disney nature documentary narrated by Josh Gad. So there's some humor to it. It follows an orangutan in the forests of Borneo supposedly through time in her life. Now, we all know how much Disney can manipulate that kind of stuff, but that is the premise behind it. If you have suggestions on things you want us to watch coming up, if there's something you really want to make sure we hit before Mandalorian and Grogu comes out, if there's other things you want us to, if there's something that you want us to watch for the semi-sesquicentennial that's coming up in July, let us know. Shoot us an email at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Send us a message on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere. We will respond to all of them. We have new episodes coming out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services for Kate, Pete, and Steve. Gina, we love you. We hope you're doing well, and we can't wait until you come back in a couple weeks. We will see everyone else next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at plusplatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.